Let's see. First of all, we want to wish those of you who are either from the East Coast or have family in the East Coast, we hope that your families are doing well and that you're able to continue your time here peacefully. Our panel theme is Building Healthy Teen Relationships, Expanding the Evidence Base, the Status of Current Research. I'm really excited to be here with a very talented panel of presenters. And I will first introduce our panelists, who's actually not up here, Debbie Lee from Futures Without Violence, and I will be presenting a brief overview of the initiative, and Debbie will go into much more detail about the structure of the Start Strong intervention. Brianne Chai-On from Finn Partners will present one of the innovative elements of the intervention, which is the social media component. And lastly, Stacy Cutbush from RTI will present some of the evaluation data around student effectiveness and the current status of research. What you may have noticed from the names that I just presented is that it's not quite what you have in your program. That we shifted the order around a little bit for better flow, and I hope that that's fine with you. I think we thought that would be a better way to present the data and the presentation. Each one of us will share a little bit more about ourselves as we move through the presentation, but before we get started, we wanted to get to know a little bit about who is in the room. So this is the demographic component. This is the engagement part of the show. So we raise your hand if you're a clinician. Great, we got two folks. Raise your hand if you're a researcher. Four, okay. How about a service provider? We have somebody wearing three hats so far. Okay. How many of you are educators, health educators? Okay, good portion. And how many of you are funders? Okay. For those of you who are educators, how many of you have done a public education campaign? Oh, good. Okay, great. And then lastly, you know, how many of you are working with teens or working on the issue of teen dating violence? Okay, that's four of you. Thank you. Any more questions from our panel? Okay, great. So let's see. So thank you again. Clearly there's a mix of experience in the room. We've structured the presentation to make sure we have question and answer, sufficient time for question and answer. We'll have about 20 or 30 minutes at the end of the presentation, so I ask that you hold your questions until the presenters have completed their comments. And we're looking forward to a great conversation. So let's get started. Let's see. So how do I move this? This one? Okay, so that's us. So actually, let me go back. So for those, as I mentioned, my name is Lucia Corral Peña. My foundation's mission and a key goal has been to end domestic violence in California. We've been doing this work for about 10 years, and we have a long-standing commitment to this field. However, one important prevention strategy that we had not really pursued was around adolescent-focused prevention strategies. So when the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation an opportunity came up to kind of partner with them around Start Strong, we kind of immediately took advantage of that. And it's really been a partnership that's been beneficial for our foundation in terms of having a shift for us. It's been a shift around understanding kind of the prevention side of ending domestic violence in California. So for us, it's been a really great partnership. So what we know about this issue continues to inform the Start Strong work. So what we know is that approximately one in three adolescent girls in the U.S. is a victim of abuse, you know, physical, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner. More than 51% say they have felt pressure from a guy to send sexy messages, and that we know it's not exclusive to girls. As you can see here, 18% of teen boys say the same. Teen victims of physical dating violence are more likely to suffer and experience substance abuse and other risky behaviors. girls in high school who reported experiencing dating violence were 4 to 6 times more likely to have ever been pregnant than peers who had not experienced dating violence. Students who, both male and female, who report having perpetrated physical dating violence were nearly 5 times more likely to report perpetrating physical peer violence, which really connects this particular issue to other adolescent issues around bullying, et cetera. And then 1 in 10 15-year-old girls who dated someone within the past 6 months reported experiencing sexual coercion by a dating partner. Using that data and a lot of other data, particularly around healthy behaviors or unhealthy behaviors as they begin to develop in adolescent health, at the adolescent stage, and how they influence longer-term risky behaviors and health, really informed Robert Wood Johnson's interest in exploring innovative and practical solutions to preventing teen dating violence. What made this particular initiative both interesting to us, but also I think innovative for the field, is that most of the data, most of the research up until this point had really been focused on high school youth. So in taking a health promotion and prevention strategy a little further upstream, we were looking at focusing on 11 to 14-year-old youth. I'm going to do some very high-level overview of the initiative, and then Debbie will go into the details just quickly. It's an $18 million investment over 4 years in 11 communities, and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Blue Shield of California Foundation are the two primary funders. Here are the 11 communities where the intervention was implemented. You know, I don't know how well you can see the names from the back in the room, but the important, perhaps one of the most important features, the two most important features, are that it really represents a diversity of agencies. We did not just pick hospitals or healthcare. What you can see is in California, we have community-based and a family violence law center. We have a hospital. We have a health agency. We have youth organizations. We have Catholic Charities in the mix. The one common feature is that they do all collaborate with school districts or schools. So that is a common feature among the communities that were funded. And with that, I will introduce Debbie Lee from Futures Without Violence, who will tell you a little bit about herself.
I am one of four staff at Futures Without Violence, and we are the National Program Office for the initiative coordinating the learning community. And the initiative was basically based on the socio-ecological model, which I know you are all very familiar with. So the four components being that we were educating and engaging youth in and out of school, educating and engaging influencers, namely a variety of people, but with all of the sites had to work with both parents and older teens, and many of them worked with healthcare and, of course, teen school personnel and faith-based leaders as well. The third being changing policy, school policy, and environmental factors, that creating a positive climate, a positive school climate in the schools that they were working with. And lastly, promoting social norms change through social marketing and communications. And this is perhaps an area I think sometimes gets neglected. And in our case, and we will be showing you, we did some, the sites really had the opportunity to do some very creative work in that area. But first, talking a little bit about educating and engaging youth. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation had the foresight to say we really want to stick with evidence-based programs. And at that point, 4 years ago, there were basically two. And so we decided to give them a choice of those two. One is Safe Dates, which many of you, how many of you have heard about Safe Dates? Okay, and this one's out of North Carolina. Vanjie Foshee is the author, and she's a researcher and practitioner. Which was developed quite a few years ago. And Fourth R comes from Canada, Toronto, London, Ontario. Sorry, not Toronto. And they both are evidence-based. They're very interactive, and both of them track to state curriculum goals. In fact, if you were to implement them in your state, they will work with you to look at your state health curriculum goals to see that it is tracked to help you make this case with your school district. The difference is, however, is safe dates works can be implemented both by teachers or people in the community. I call them prevention specialists. In the case of 4th R, their belief is that teachers are the ones that should implement it. Also, that because they firmly believe that then it can be sustained more quickly and long after funding is gone. However, in this day and age, with, of course, in the United States, with such budget issues, you know, sometimes we, for some communities, actually the prevention specialists, the outside community advocates, in fact, could make it happen more easily. The other difference is that Safe Dates has a very straightforward approach, simply 9 lessons, again, very interactive. And 4th R is based on the premise that if you teach risk behaviors of any kind, if you're addressing, in this case, they address substance abuse, healthy eating, and reproductive health and sexual safety issues, that if you address any of the risk behaviors, that will, in fact, impact other risk behaviors. So their 7 lessons on healthy relationships and teen dating violence is embedded in 21 to 28 lessons, which, of course, is also a bit of a challenge, though if it was made to fit into the health curriculum, of which in the United States many of those issues that they cover are, in fact, required. So also there was some out of school work. Some of the more successful work was in Boston, where they utilized existing community neighborhood structures where kids go for after school programs. The city completely supports. So they integrated healthy relationship education and teen dating violence into training existing staff there already. A number of sites also use the Boys and Girls Club. There is a curriculum that was developed some time ago, almost I think around 12 years ago. And Idaho had been working a lot with the Girl Scouts, and in fact there's a badge on healthy relationships. So they did a lot of different kinds of work exploring new and innovative ways in those small group settings. But we found that there really is a lot more that was needed. There was a sense in the beginning that they might develop real programming here, but one of the things that we really need more entertainment, recreational kinds of activities in those after-school programs, because that's how they really work. In terms of engaging influencers, I will be talking a little bit more about older teens later, and I mentioned healthcare, coaches, teachers, after-school staff, and faith leaders. 8 of the 11 sites implemented a coaches program. In terms of parents, this was an area that we as a whole learning community worked together to come up with a number of ads that the sites could use throughout their 4 years. And the theme was parents start relating before they start dating. Again, this was middle school, so this is a time in which parents are still quite involved. They are oftentimes or sometimes coming to school for different kinds of events, whereas in high school you're seeing a siphoning off where, you know, there's a little more distance between parents and the kids. The Idaho Coalition developed this very wonderful healthy relationship handbook, which is available on the website, Start Strong Idaho, which talked about even at the younger age, perhaps there isn't the traditional dating, but there is, kids are exploring all of these relationships, and they're beginning to go out on their own in groups, and when they go to the movies, that's when you have to remember that that actually is probably one of their first dates. And I was reminded only a week after this book came out that my son had gone to the movies with a bunch of girls for the first time. A couple more of the ads. You speak adult, she speaks. Well, she doesn't speak. And you can see her texting here. We developed about, I think there were 14 various different ads with different images as well, because our communities were so diverse. Here's another one that probably did not fly in Los Angeles, but did fly in Wichita. You're pre-adolescent, and that's you hanging on for dear life on that bull. I know I've felt that way many a time. In terms of changing policy and environmental factors, we looked at a lot of school policies. There was a wonderful policy that came out of Rhode Island, which is one of the sites, as well as in Austin, Texas, and Los Angeles also was starting. So we pulled these ones together, but what we really found were most of the policies were geared for high school and did not focus on prevention. So we molded it in the whole positive school climate framework. And so here are some of the main elements: prevention education for students, implementing that in the schools, training for staff, parent and caregiver engagement, of course, a response to abuse. How do you respond once it's identified, once kids come forward? And then, very importantly, how do you monitor the implementation of that program and the abuse that is occurring? Because once, of course, when there's an awareness by staff, that means incidences are going to go up, and that needs to be seen as a good sign. In Boston, let me just say that in the sites, of course, we presented this policy. They had helped develop it, but many of them integrated in various different ways. Of course, what we're really wanting to see is an integrated policy that deals with sexual harassment and bullying and teen dating violence and cyberbullying. And so that is the more ideal. Again, we don't want to see silos, which is so often the case. In Boston, they integrated into their new bullying policy. In Wichita, they didn't actually adopt a policy as of yet, but they integrated the various different elements and really got very far by adopting the district training and putting it in the parent-student handbooks. In terms of social marketing and social norms, what we really learned is a lot about how you create youth-driven or youth-informed programs. I'll be talking about that. And the idea at this age, again, social marketing and social norms was done with a cohort in each of the communities of high school students. And that was the idea, because middle school students so much look up to high school students. So in working with those cohorts of high school students, there had to be a youth-adult partnership where youth really get trained about the issue, how to do education, et cetera, and then they become wonderful creators of messages and develop and implementers of programs. A couple different examples. In Bridgeport, Connecticut, they created this media tool to take, were taught about this framework to look at things in these four R ways. And they used it to look at movies and books and have discussions. So they would look at these in terms of, is it real? Are people being responsible? Are they respectful? And is this the right message to be bringing to youth? In Boston, they did some really creative stuff. They created a breakup summit in which parents and youth came to discuss breakups. Now, this is an issue that I don't think any of us have had very much training. I know I could have benefited a great deal from it. One of the images they used is pictured here in terms of how you break up, using the power bars on your telephones to look at what is the most the strongest sort of interaction for breakup. Is it face-to-face, using a phone, using the email, texting, and of course the lowest one bar power is social networks, which so often we see, and which can be quite damaging. In terms of opportunities to talk, the Idaho Start Strong Idaho got out of the box really quickly. They saw many of the leaders had read, of course, the books of Twilight, and as this journalist stated, New Moon, the movie, is a pop culture tsunami. It was what kids were talking about. We even saw the kids in the Bronx, very diverse, lots of minority kids. They were even all over this movie in terms of middle school students. So what they did is that at the midnight premiere of New Moon, the kids conducted a survey in the theaters in the Boise area. It brought the press out, it brought parents, and it made the morning discussion news in Boise. So it was used as a teachable moment to talk up to preteens and teens about healthy relationships. And in this case, it was the relationships of vampires and werewolves. In the last movie, the latest movie, they did a second campaign, the campaign for a third choice, talking about Bella, the main character, and what choice she was going to make between the werewolf and the werewolf and the vampire, and that she might want to choose herself. So in all of these different campaigns, there were many more, I think we really learned that we need to be creative and innovative, we need to have credible messengers, and we need to move at their speed. And it's got to be edgy. Just a couple things around lessons learned. I know I'm moving really quickly here. We really found that middle school is a really opportune time to reach kids. And when we're talking about prevention, we're really talking about these kids are going to be adults and very soon. They're going to be going to college very soon. So we're talking only about 6 years. So it can be a very, is also a very effective time because this, of course, is a time when they're becoming, they're testing out their relationships, their maturity and social, emotional learning is very high at this point. I've mentioned about key influencers. Kids are still, they may not be seeming like they're listening, but we know that they are. In surveys of kids, they do talk about the influence of their parents and other peers. And as Lucia was talking about, bullying may be another key entry point. There are more studies that link these two issues. Schools being a focal point, there are just so many different things that we need to be doing in changing that school environment for the better. Youth-informed social marketing is crucial. I didn't talk any much about, but I know that Breanne will be in terms of social media being a key place to intervene. So I'm going to move on here.